Good morning, everybody. This is Carol Anderson, and welcome to my monthly teleseminar series, Secrets to Finally Attract and Keep the Partner of Your Dreams. And specifically this morning, we'll be learning why relationships are so hard. And I just want to start by letting you all know that I'm really so very grateful to have you on this call as my guests today. And as usual, I want to take a moment to acknowledge you for being here and for prioritizing your future relationship health as well as your personal growth. You know, you're really a unique group of millennial singles, and I say this every time, but I totally am sincere about it. I just want you to know that you are a unique group of millennial singles who recognize that relationships now take work. And it's not just an easy thing. And so that you need to prepare yourself to be in a relationship before getting into one. Some of you might not be quite there yet, but the fact that you're on this call tells me you have a little foot in the door. And so I want to congratulate you for that mindset. And I know there's a couple of new people on the call, so I want to go ahead and take a couple of minutes to let you know a little more about myself and how I got into this relationship coaching business. So first of all, I've been married for 42 years, and I've been a licensed marriage and family therapist for 20. In fact, including my internships, it's about 27 years I've been working with people. But of that time, I've been a certified Imago relationship therapist for couples and for singles for about 18 years. And in fact, I really believe that relationships are the most challenging of all the specialties that I could have chosen. I didn't realize that when I chose it, but now that I've chosen it, I'm totally aware of that. And to compound the difficulty, this is going to shock many of you, that as a marriage and family therapist, we do not receive even one class in couples therapy or couples counseling. And so when I realized that I wasn't getting any training in couples, I started looking, and I looked for my whole internship of 6 years to find a good program. And then I just quite accidentally discovered Imago Relationship Therapy through the book Getting the Love You Want by Harville Hendricks. And my training, I've had the equivalent in hours of training to a second master's degree in relationship therapy. I have over 400 hours, which if you add that up, that would be equivalent of a 30-unit master's degree. In fact, because of that, I'm respected here in Fresno, where I live and practice, as the go-to relationship therapist. Now, many local therapists even refer their most difficult couples to me. Gee, thanks. And as a result, I have now worked with over 1,000 singles and couples in my career, helping them find, create, and keep the relationship of their dreams. So in addition, I really feel called to work with singles because it is really only as a single that it's much easier to impact your future relationship. Once you are a couple, you have many more challenges to deal with. I think if anybody here has ever been in a relationship which I think most people have on the call, that you know how challenging a relationship can be. And a lot of people mistakenly believe that when they get in a relationship and it becomes challenging, it must be because of the partner, because they were fine before. And we'll discuss that in a future call, but that is really not the truth. So you have a lot of challenges in your relationship. And while my work as a therapist is really very rewarding, I've really become frustrated with the therapy field in general, because insurance companies end up dictating what I can and cannot do with people in my office. And most importantly, it's completely focused on the necessity of having a mental illness. And again, many people don't realize that when you bill your insurance, your therapist has to label you with a mental illness. And so because I love this work so much, I've decided to transition out of doing therapy so I can really offer more services to singles and couples, and especially without the stigma of my clients having to have this diagnosis of some type of mental disorder on their medical records forever. And that will haunt you if you want to get life insurance and you've been diagnosed with depression, prevent you from getting life insurance or health insurance later on. And anyone that can access your records that you give access to can find that. So as usual, the last little bit of housekeeping, I want to give you my disclaimer. And that is that while I'm going to talk as fast as I can to give you as much information as possible during this hour, I think most of you already understand that really getting the relationship you're looking for and finding the partner of your dreams won't be able to be accomplished in really this series of phone calls. The phone calls gives you knowledge, but knowledge is very different than practicing or implementing what you've learned. And we all know how hard it is to make changes in your life, like whether you're trying to diet or change some habit or do something different in your life, it's hard. And so for those of you who are serious about attracting your dream partner and ultimately creating that juicy relationship of your dreams, I'll show you how to take this to the next level a little bit later in the call. And I'll also have a special gift for you at the end of the call for those of you who have not been on my calls before. So let's jump into this morning's topic, which is why are relationships so hard? This morning, what you're going to learn as a little preview is how modern relationships are set up to fail and the one thing they require to be successful. Actually, there's several things, but I'm just going to give you one. Who's really running the show in your relationships? And you're going to discover how your brain is literally hardwired to sabotage all your relationships, all of your intimate relationships, maybe some of your platonic ones, and maybe even some of your professional ones, depending on you. You're also going to learn the two non-relational character types that create conflict and which one you are. You're going to learn the hidden agenda driving all relationships that you really need to know about so that you can do something about it. And you're going to learn two secrets to outwit that hardwiring that nature has done to your brain. And, of course, as always, much more. So now, going back to my very first talk I gave in here, I'm looking at the names, and I think a couple of you were on that call. That was back in April. My very first talk, I'll just call it the 10 Tips talk. I spoke about modern relationships and how they're different from traditional relationships. But I want to review that, especially for those of you who were not on that call, but many of you may have forgotten it. I just want to review the main point that I made there. And then I want to get deeper into that and the more challenging reasons behind that issue. So first and foremost, for singles, many don't know that marriage and intimate relationships in our society in general are not happy. A lot of singles think that couples are just automatically happy, and if they were only a couple, they would be happy. So a recent national survey showed that 95% of all marriages are just okay, all the way to downright miserable. In fact, the national divorce rate is 50%, and California is 67%. In other words, in California, 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce, and that's only in the first 7 years of marriage. And if you think about it, the other piece of that is that this research or the 67% doesn't include unmarried couples or cohabiting couples who break up. It doesn't include also married couples who live together in long-term loveless relationships simply as roommates. So you can see with that, if 67% divorce, you can see with adding those other groups how it's easily 95%. So if you haven't noticed, relationships are extremely complex these days. And when our parents and grandparents, if you're old enough, it was your parents. If you're a young Gen Y or Gen X, it was probably your grandparents. When they were raising their families, relationships were about survival. It was about paying the bills, putting food on the table, a roof over their heads, clothes on their back, and raising the kids. And because of that, roles were clearly defined. Women knew what to expect of men, and men knew what to expect of women. Nobody complained much, and it didn't vary much between couples. But something interesting happened in the 70s. I think most of you know, well, some of you young guys might not know, the women's movement occurred. And at that point, besides other things, women have literally taken hold of what I call the reins of relationship. And they're insisting on a number of things. These are equality, fidelity, emotional intimacy and connection, as well as teamwork and communication. There may be more, but those are the ones I could think of. Additionally, both men and women now want something different that they've never wanted in history, and that is to be happy and fulfilled in their intimate relationship. Now, we kind of take that for granted that we want to be happy, but this was not part of the traditional marriage. It started out like that, but people really just kind of figured it wasn't going to last or something. That's not what normally broke marriages up. In fact, you know that divorce wasn't even very popular up until the 70s. So now while those goals are really amazing for relationships, most couples don't know how to achieve them because there's no model to look for direction, to look at for direction. And unfortunately, marriage doesn't come with an owner's manual. Wish it did. Additionally, most of the time, partners are not even on the same page in what they want and expect from each other, let alone their relationship. So the second, I want to talk about the second and even more challenging and deeper problem is how our brains function. You see, we all have a part of our brain that is the exact same brain that is found in animals, and we call this the old brain. And it's primarily responsible for our survival, and it is not rational. So it believes all kinds of stuff, and it's not going to be rational stuff. So this part of the brain is where our fight or flight response originates. And we have little or no direct control over it. Anytime our old brain perceives danger, and the key word there is perceives danger, it will go into fight or flight. And by the way, danger to the old brain is defined very broadly, which includes our partner merely rolling their eyes at us or less. Not being able to balance the checkbook, any number of things that create stress is perceived as danger. And with the old brain, danger equals death. And so we'll usually react instantly and in whatever habituated behaviors we have developed over the years that we've used to protect ourselves. Now, additionally, if we were raised in a dysfunctional home, or our emotional needs were not very well met as children, then we will react very much more intensely and more quickly. It will also take us longer to cool down. So how do we deal with this? Well, today, a new understanding about relationships is really required to be successful. And this includes understanding that nature actually has a hidden agenda for you in your relationship. And it's probably not what you're thinking exactly. Many people kind of jump to a conclusion there, but that might be one of the nature's agendas, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. But when you look around you, and I'll tell you about it, when you look around you, you can see evidence that nature is really only concerned about survival and growth. Survival of the species, of course, it's probably the one you were thinking of, but your own survival, physical survival, and growth. So everything has to survive and grow in nature. And so if you're not healing from a wound or growing, then you're not surviving very well. And in nature, if you're not surviving, which means healing and growing, then you're dying. So the good news is that nature's agenda includes finding a perfect partner for your social, emotional, psychological healing and growth. However, I want to warn you that you might not recognize this perfect partner when you do find them. And that would be pretty sad, wouldn't it? But worse, this partner will likely eventually turn into your worst nightmare. But that's next month's talk on this series. I'll tell you more about your perfect partner next time and how that all works. So nature's hidden agenda really requires gaining knowledge and using skills that we did not have or even need in years past in those traditional marriages. Additionally, it requires a commitment to ongoing work once you're in a committed relationship. It's not going to be happily ever after. And I spoke about that, I think it was the last call last month, and that's recorded on the calls that you have the link to or will be receiving. We have to continue to evolve, and relationships also have evolved. So we have to continue to evolve because our relationships are evolving. And the problem is that most of us didn't have parents who modeled this healthy contemporary relationship. So even if you were born in the 80s and your parents got married in the 70s, like my husband and I did, we didn't really know how to do this, you know, in the 70s. And so we only transferred our lack of skills to our poor children. And, you know, many of our own parents even may have been divorced, or perhaps if they were divorced, they went from relationship to relationship. You see also a lot of single parents. In fact, they say that now the statistics show there's more single parents than there are married parents in our society. And so if your parents didn't model a healthy contemporary relationship for you, then, you know, they might maybe did some of their work in private, and so you didn't see it. But if they didn't model that, then basically you're going to kind of have to learn that on your own. And really what we did experience with our parents was a much more powerful and influential teacher, and that was the parent-child relationship. We experienced that relationship personally, and we now know that personal experience is always the best teacher. What you do is what teaches you, not what you learn verbally. Our parents might say said to us, do what I say, not what I do. Well, you end up doing what your parents do, not what they tell you to do. But your relationship with your parent is pretty much what your relationship with your partner is going to look like or has looked like. I just was wondering if you guys would hit number one on your keypad if you had what you feel was a perfect childhood. Just hit number one. Oh, buddy. Okay. Well, I was going to ask a second question in case somebody, you guys are all honest, but in case somebody put up a number one there, I was going to have you hit a different key if you would raise your kids the way you were. Now, in my therapy practice, a lot of times people will say, oh, I had a great childhood. And so I'll ask them that second question, and they'll say, no. Well, so then, if you didn't have a perfect childhood, why wouldn't you want to raise your kids the way you were raised? So that's sometimes the way I fish that out of people, that they really didn't have the childhood that they thought was perfect. And, of course, nobody has a perfect childhood. Childhood is frustrating. Growing up is frustrating, and parents do the best they can. It's definitely not about blaming parents for anything. Everybody does the best they can, and it's based on how they grew up. But the important thing is that if you didn't have a strong bond with a primary caretaker at birth, that you will have an extremely difficult time maintaining an intimate, committed relationship at all as an adult. So if you have just really a string of bad relationships, you keep finding partners who are very dysfunctional, or maybe they seem great, but you just can't stay very long in a relationship, then that's probably the problem. You probably didn't have a good bonding experience, and we call that attachment as an infant. But in general, the fewer needs, even if you got that need met, good for you, because that means that you at least have a foundation for a relationship there. People who don't have that have to do a lot of therapy to be able to get that. They have to go back and get that somehow, that need met. But the fewer needs that you had met as a child, even all the way up through adolescence, the more wounds you'll have and the more you'll struggle in an intimate relationship as an adult. So I want to say that again. The fewer needs that you had met as a child, all the way up into adolescence, as long as you were dependent on your parents, the fewer needs you had met, the more wounds you will have, and the more you will struggle in intimate relationships as an adult. Now, most people who have had any kind of therapy or read any kind of books about relationships kind of understand that concept, but it may be a new concept for some of you, and I know if it is new, it may be kind of hard to swallow. But I want to say a little more about that so you'll understand. So as a child, you perceive yourselves as unworthy, inadequate, unlovable, or even unacceptable, and actually even worthless, because you don't get your needs met. As a child, we are incapable of putting that responsibility on a parent. We're incapable of saying, you know what, my parent is really screwed up. My alcoholic parent, or my workaholic parent, or my angry, resentful parent, or my super busy parent, or my anxious, worried parent. They are really screwed up, and it's not my fault. It's really their problem. It's not about me. Children are incapable of doing that because children don't have boundaries, and boundaries is what separates us as children from our parents. So you don't start getting that until adolescence, and even in adolescence, they're not very well developed. In fact, a lot of adults don't have that very well developed either. So what happens is this inability to get our needs met creates an unconscious level. I want to underline unconscious level for most of us, that is, a level of self-hatred in ourselves. But since we can't really survive and function very well hating ourselves, I mean, people who are in touch with that self-hatred quite often are the seriously mentally ill patients in hospitals. They are homeless. They maybe have some serious addictions going on, alcohol, drug abuse. They may be very likely are in prison. But we can't really survive too well hating ourselves. And so instead, what we have to do is defend against it. Now, if you're pretty high functioning, that means you hold a job and you get along pretty well in life, but maybe not so well with relationships. We have learned how to defend against this self-hatred. And the best way to defend against our own self-hatred is projecting it onto our partner. Now, again, most people who've been to therapy or read anything about self-help understands the concept of projection, but I just want to explain it to you in simple terms. And so projection is, you know, like a movie projector. If you think of a movie projector, it projects onto a screen. Sitting in a theater, you look at that screen and you get so involved in the movie, it actually seems like that those are real people up there, not just beams of light, and that they're in front of us. They're right there in front of us. But in fact, those are not real people at all. Like I said, they're just beams of light shining on a screen. And the story is actually coming from that projector. And so in reality, like I said, the projection is not real. It's just the story that we tell ourselves. The story is coming from us. And so we project our self-hatred onto our partners like that. And I'm not going to get into what that actually looks like here. Just take my word for it. All of us do that. So let me just give you one example. Whenever you really just hate the person you're with or just so angry of them or critical of them, you're projecting your self-hatred. Like I said, I know a lot of what I'm saying may be completely new to you and may be confusing, but hopefully if you tune into enough of my calls, you'll understand more about all of this stuff. It'll make more sense to you. So like what I said earlier, most couples are modeling in their marriage, they're modeling the parent-child relationship that they experienced growing up with. And what I see is sometimes partners get stuck in one role or the other. I'll see couples where one partner is constantly the parent and the other is constantly the child. Sometimes they take turns, though, going back and forth, mutually agreeing on who's going to be the parent right now and who's going to be the child, while some actually battle over it. Some battle who's going to get to be the child and who's going to get to be the parent. They both want what the other one has. So, but of course, they're pretty much unconscious about all of this and what they're really doing in their relationship. They don't see that. But if you sit in my chair in my office for a couple of days, you'll really see that dynamic repeated over and over again. And sometimes I have to let them know that that's what they're doing and remind them if they have kids, if they ever see their own kids doing that. Additionally, how we experience our parents' energy and how they relate to us, we develop into one of two, what we call in Imago, character types. Now, these are two specific ways that we respond to stress, not only in our relationships, but in life in general. And these two types are called the minimizer and the maximizer, or more affectionately, the tortoise and the hailstorm. Now, the hailstorm expands their emotions and their energy, while the tortoise constricts theirs. And typically, you will have one person acting in the role of the hailstorm and the other in the role of the tortoise. But again, just like the parent-child, most people kind of go back and forth on those at different times. But when a couple is locked into one or both of these roles, they're unable to communicate because they experience each other as dangerous and don't understand each other. Now, think of yourself. When you're in a stressful situation, especially in a relationship, do you tend to shut down or do you tend to explode? Do you tend to be very animated and verbal with your emotions, or do you suck it up and not talk about your feelings? Maybe you don't even know you have feelings. Maybe you don't know what they are. Do you tend to be more dependent on other people's opinions, and do you tend to be more interested in meeting other people's needs? If so, that's part of the hailstorm. And if you're more self-absorbed and more inward and aware of yourself and what you want, and other people's opinions don't really matter, and you're more what we call self-centered, there's other-oriented and self-centered, and One is not better than the other, by the way. A lot of people tend to think that I'm saying that one is healthy and one's not. But both of these are stress responses, not real healthy. But if you tend to be more self-centered, self-absorbed, not really interested in other people's opinions at all, they don't influence you too much, then you're probably the tortoise. But the main thing is that emotional energy, that if you constrict it, you're a tortoise, and if you expand it, you're a hailstorm. And like I said, people usually have a little bit of both in each in themselves, and they may switch back and forth. Okay, so if you add all of these challenges together, especially the self-hatred, and I expect that you may begin to understand the complexity of relationships and of the problem of being in a relationship. And whether we like it or not, we now have different expectations of relationships, and especially of marriage. And unfortunately, we're not genetically or socially programmed for these contemporary relationships. They require training and several important personal qualities, as well as some knowledge and skills about what's going on. Unfortunately, as I said before, relationships don't come with an owner's manual, and we don't learn these things in school. In my 10 tips talk, which is recorded, I gave you what I believe are the most important tips or secrets to attract and, more importantly, keep the partner of your dreams. Okay, so we have to be strategic to overcome that old brain tendency to sabotage our relationships. It is hardwired. It's not that you can't get around it, but you have to intentionally get around it. You can't, if you're reactive, you cannot navigate around that old brain tendency. You have to be strategic and what we call intentional. So I want to tell you a couple of things you can do to prevent this old brain from taking over your relationships and sabotaging them. So the first strategy is to learn and use an effective communication skill. The one I teach in my workshops and in my practice and in my coaching is called the intentional dialogue. Now, one part of the dialogue includes mirroring back exactly what you heard the other person saying. And it sounds a little weird at first, but every new skill is weird, like the first time you drove a car. But what happens is your old brain relaxes when your new brain is completely engaged. Because, you know, think about it. If you're being chased by a bear or tiger, lion or something, you know, or rattlesnake in front of you, your new brain, which is your thinking brain, is not going to be engaged. You are going to go into your instinctual fight or flight behavior. So if you can keep your new brain engaged, it's telling your old brain that everything is fine and you're safe. So the intentional dialogue, and especially the mirroring process in the dialogue, helps you to keep that new brain engaged. And it's a vital skill that I believe that people must absolutely utilize in their relationship for that relationship to be successful. But you can really only learn the intentional dialogue from a certified Imago relationship therapist or a coach. If you get the book, Getting the Love You Want or Keeping the Love You Find, it will be in there, but reading about it is not going to tell you. Even reading through the steps is not going to tell you really how to do it. So you really need to participate in that as an experiential learning. So the second skill is practicing empathy and understanding when someone is triggering you. Now, let me explain empathy, because some people are confused what empathy is. They might think it's compassion, but it's not. They may think of it sympathy, but that's not. Empathy is the ability to put yourself in another person's shoes and kind of get some clue as to what they might be feeling. You're only guessing based on your own experience, but then it's asking them if that's how they feel. You may say, gee, sounds like right now you're feeling really frustrated with me, maybe angry and maybe even a little hurt. Is that how you're feeling? You need to have that empathy for them. And when you have empathy for somebody else, I call it the emotional Star Trek force field. It keeps you from being triggered in your own pain. So if you do your best to see things from your partner's or anybody's, your boss, their point of view, rather than just thinking of them as nuts, and imagine how they're feeling, that this creates the emotional Star Trek force field, and it keeps you in that empathic space, which actually keeps your pain from being triggered, which is amazing. You can feel your partner's pain without you being triggered at the same time, which is how fights begin. And so this skill is an integral part of the intentional dialogue. And it's kind of a little bit of an advanced skill that takes some practice. Really, actually, both take a lot of practice. And you have to practice in the trenches with other people. Simply reading about them, as in the books, the Getting the Love You Want or Keeping the Love You Find for singles. Simply reading about them, or worse, practicing it, but then waiting until you need them before you really use it in your life, that will backfire on you and you won't be able to implement either one of those very well. They have to be learned and practiced well in advance to make them kind of almost a habit where you just drop right into your intentional dialogue when you are triggered. It's just automatic, just like stepping on the brake in your car when you see red lights in front of you. You don't have to sit there and think about it. You don't have to say, oh, maybe I don't need to do this now. I'd just rather rear-end that jerk for stopping in front of me. But that's what we do in marriage. So that dialogue has to be practiced in real situations when you're actually being triggered in order for it to really work. So I want to open up the lines. I'm running maybe about 5 minutes behind, but I'm going to open up the lines here, and I'm going to ask for questions. Okay, Azima, go ahead. What's your question?
Well, my question is, what happens if only one person has the kind of understanding about the intentional dialogue, or what do you do if only have half the couple engaged in this idea?
Yes. Yes, that is really a great question. Thank you for asking that. So I kind of have two answers to that. The first is you can do a lot on your own. If you know the dialogue and you know how to use it and you've practiced it, you certainly can use that with your partner and it will really calm things down. What I tell people is that when you are with somebody who's not been trained in the dialogue and hasn't agreed with you to be in dialogue, then you probably are not going to want to do the mirroring because they won't understand it and it'll just feel really weird. Some people you can get by with it, but most people, they think, what are they doing to me? So instead, with someone who has not been trained or is completely unfamiliar with the dialogue, then you want to just do more of a summary statement of what they've said to you instead of the line, what we call line-by-line mirroring. With mirroring, they speak, you speak, they speak, you speak, you know, they speak, you mirror, like that. There's many steps to the dialogue, which I just can't even get into on this call. So you can just paraphrase or summarize what they said, being careful you don't insert any of your own thoughts in there, and then empathize with them. And you can do what we call validate them, which lets them know that you get where they're coming from. And even though you may not agree with it, you don't have to agree with it. Okay, so that's my first answer. You can do a lot on your own. But my second answer is that ultimately, if both of you are not committed to some sort of personal growth, then it makes it very, very hard to have any kind of relationship. You both have to be on some kind of a growth path. So, and you have to be on a personal growth path in order to find a partner who's on a personal growth path, because they will feel weird to you if you're not on a personal growth path. It will be highly uncomfortable to be with someone who is. So that's my answer to that. Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. The only part of it that I'm curious about is, like, it would be really good for sort of diffusing the reactivity of the partner, but in terms of you feeling heard and understood, that it's going to kind of be missing the mark there, I think, right?
Right, yes. If you're not with a partner who is committed to growth and who has learned some of these skills, there are a lot of different kinds of communication models out there. I just personally love the Imago Intentional Dialogue for several reasons. It's just so much more comprehensive than and effective than anything I've ever found in my 27 years and more, because before I ever even went back to school to become a therapist, I was reading about communication and relationships and parenting and all that stuff because it's so important. And I realized, oh my gosh, what is this we're trying to do, you know? And so I read about iMessages and communication skills way back, even in the late 70s and early 80s, I was reading about that stuff. And, well, actually, even in the mid-70s, once I realized, oh, I think this marriage thing is going to be a little challenging. And the intentional dialogue is just the best as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, but you do need a partner who has some sort of training in communication and is willing and capable of doing that. And if they're not, then you really are not going to be very satisfied. But at the same time, when you are in empathic space with your partner, you will likely be less triggered. And the more you learn about relationships, the less triggered you will be because you'll understand why they're triggered. If you're with what we lovingly call a Neanderthal who hasn't got a clue about any of this, then you probably are not going to get your needs met very well. And again, like I said, 50 years ago, that was fine. That's what people did, you know. That's what women rebelled against, is that their husbands were pretty Neanderthal and women were pretty sensitive. And they said enough. At one point they said enough. You know, we want our men to be sensitive to our feelings and faithful to us and everything else. So, okay.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just getting one point that's really interesting, and that is the idea that when you're using the intentional dialogue, you move out of the reptilian brain into the frontal cortex, and so you're going to be in a different relationship with your own stuff.
So right, exactly.
Your needs are going to be met only by yourself rather than by your partner. But at least a whole. Yeah, no, that's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, your relational needs need to be met in relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that they can meet their own needs, but if you think about giving yourself a hug, it just doesn't work too well. So, okay, well, great. Thank you for asking that question. That's a really important question. So I'm going to mute you again and give everybody one last chance, a short chance to ask a question because we've only got about 5 minutes left. I may go over a few minutes here. But
I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's so valuable, really valuable. And I'm wondering, though, how do you even begin to know if somebody is on that, you know, growth path of wanting to know, to learn, and to be open?
Yeah, you know, that's also a great question. And again, there's two answers. I'm going to kind of answer that quickly because we're almost out of time. One thing is a lot of times people get involved, they get quickly, deeply involved in relationships, which I consider basically they start having sex very early in the relationship. And once you do that, you start bonding with a person and you no longer see any red flags. Any red flags that you might see, you dismiss. You say, oh, that's no big deal, just mad at me right now, and it'll be fine. And you can forgive those little red flags, and they seem kind of minor. But, you know, once you actually get into a committed relationship, they do become important. So I always encourage couples to be very slow and intentional and conscious about who they are deciding to partner with. In fact, that's the relationship success training program that I'm doing right now. We're coming up on our last couple of classes, and that's what you learn, how to create your relationship requirements and then how to test for those. So that's a great program. I will be repeating that in some form or another, whether it's going to be a workshop or a class. I'll do that in the future, so just keep your eyes open on that.
Good.
And so that's like the conscious side of relationship choice. But there's this whole other level of relationship choice, which, again, this is what you'll be learning next month. But there's this whole other level that's unconscious, and that is based on many, many different forces or drives within you. It includes the nature's agenda of putting you with a perfect partner. And so the quick answer to the second part is that while opposites attract in terms of personality, in terms of values, we do tend to usually mate with people who are on the same page. So water seeks its own level and birds of a feather flock together. But in terms of your personality, like outgoing versus introvert, you know, extrovert versus introvert, and the hailstorm and tortoise, those are quite often opposite. But how you are, how your wounds, your behaviors, and so forth are usually more alike than different. And so if you're not on a personal growth path, if things like learning about relationships and being committed in a relationship and learning how to navigate a relationship and all of these things that like people who are on this call really want, if you're not sincerely in that place, and I don't mean just knowledge, but I mean actually practice, actually doing it, so you're in integrity with that knowledge you're learning. If you're not there, you're going to find a partner who is in the same place as you are. So you have to look at your relationship patterns, and if you're finding that you see any kind of pattern in your relationship that you don't like, you got to look at yourself and figure out how that's a reflection of you. In my 10 tips, I talk about relationships are always a mirror of yourself, and so that's kind of the important thing. You got to be doing it too, and it's got to be something you really believe in and you really practice. So does that answer your question, Val?
Yeah, I'm just really excited to hear more from you next time.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, and welcome to the call. This is your first call. So, okay, thank you, Val. I'm going to mute you. And then I'm going to go ahead and finish by letting you know a little bit more information about how you can learn more about this. And I will stay on the call for a few minutes afterwards, so if anybody wants to ask another question, you're certainly welcome to. Earlier I talked about how knowledge is one thing and implementation or practice of what you've learned is another. I've mentioned that a couple of times even in Val's question. And, you know, it can really be challenging to make changes on your own. Most of the times, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't make changes if you don't know something. And, for example, you may want to go on a diet and lose weight, but you just can't do it. It's because there's something going on inside of you that is sabotaging that change. And so if you don't know what that is, then you will never be able to change. Additionally, some of you may want to know more about what I've been sharing with you. So for you guys, I want to remind you about my Keeping the Love You Find workshop for singles. Now, this workshop is part of my training as an Imago relationship therapist, and it's the flagship for singles in our Imago singles therapy. And so this workshop was developed by Harville Hendricks, who prior to retiring a few years ago was Oprah's favorite therapist. And this workshop is presented internationally, but I actually present, there's not very many of them presented really around the world, but they are around the world. And in fact, I'm the only one from Central to Northern California. We have several in Southern California. But if you go all the way to Calgary, that's the next workshop, and New York, New Jersey, and Maryland to the east, there's nothing west of the Mississippi, and except for the There's one in LA and one or two in San Diego. And so if you're in Northern California or Central California, I'm it if you want to go to this workshop. So now my last workshop this year is October 26th to 28th, and it's in a spectacular vacation home in the heart of San Francisco. And I'll give you a link at the end where you can go and you can actually look at some slides of that home. It's amazing. Views of the whole city, decks outside, hardwood floors, skylights. It's just amazing. A totally remodeled home. So, and that's just the home. The workshop is at least as amazing. During this workshop, you will meet, connect, and make friends with like-minded singles for a whole weekend. We spend the weekend together in our class time, our workshop time, and then we eat together. We go out to dinner together. It's just a great weekend. And in fact, for those of you who want lodging, you can actually, I don't want to say sleep together, but we will be sharing the vacation home for the weekend. So if you have to commute, you certainly have the option of staying in the home with others. And it's just a really great way to connect and make new friends. And like-minded singles is one of the 10 tips that you want to connect with and have a community of like-minded singles. People oftentimes make friends there you make friends so quickly, you just really connect well. So the second thing is you're going to learn how to identify and break through your unconscious negative relationship patterns. Again, I mentioned this, that we have these unconscious patterns that we're not even aware of doing. And we think it's our partner we're projecting, and they're doing it too, but a lot of it comes from ourselves. And so this workshop helps you identify those. If you don't know, if you don't know what you don't know, then you can't change it. And that's one thing we really address. And that's in private. You do that by yourself in your workbook. There's a lot of time that you're writing and doing self-discovery. And so you're also going to discover little-known keys to overcome your relationship failure. I talk a lot about how you can do that. You're going to do an exercise to say goodbye to ghosts of ex-partners who are haunting your relationships, and that keeps you stuck in the past. So many of us think we've let go of our ex-partners, but there are pieces of them hanging around still in our lives that haunt our current relationships and keep us from having a fully committed, intimate relationship. And some people can't even get into a new relationship because they can't let go of an old partner, totally let go. So this exercise helps you to do that. You're going to practice a method of communication, which, guess what it is, the intentional dialogue, that really literally will attract people to you as you use it in your day-to-day life and as you go out into, networking with singles and so forth. I'm going to teach you some secrets that will uncover your chances of getting into a juicy and enduring love. It'll help you to create that juicy, enduring love. And these literally are secrets. People just don't know these. Unless you've read the book, Getting the Love You Want and Keeping the Love You Find, you can read the book and get some of these secrets, but you really need that practice in the trenches, and that's what the workshop will give you, is that ability to practice these secrets and the communication in the trenches. We're going to create our own attraction action plan. Now, in the workshop, it's called a personal growth plan, but that sounds kind of boring and kind of scary too. So really what it is, what you're doing is as you grow personally, you are going to be more attractive and you're going to attract people who are on the same page as you are. You're going to attract like-minded partner. So I have renamed this to the Attraction Action Plan. And that will be your dream partner that, everybody wants, not your nightmare partner. And we have fun, we laugh, and we play together, we eat together, like I said. bed. We sort of sleep together. It's just really an amazing weekend, and you'll learn so much more than I've even covered here. So this workshop, I normally charge $497 for this workshop, but I have a number of discounts. It's 2.5 days. It goes from Friday evening, I think 7 o'clock Friday evening, until Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And so it's about 20 hours plus the additional time of just hanging out with each other. And so I have a couple of discounts to help reduce that tuition for you, because I know everybody is struggling financially, and I want to make this as affordable as possible, because I so much believe in this workshop that I want as many people as possible to be able to come. But of course I have to pay my overhead, and I have to pay for some little bit of my time. If you stay tuned, I'm going to show you how you can get this workshop for as low as $272, almost half off. So now here it is. First, I have a 60-day early bird discount, and that's a $100 discount. And unfortunately, our 60 days is coming up actually Monday the 27th. So by midnight Monday, that $100 discount is going to be gone. And I also offer a $25 buddy discount for bringing a friend. And your friend also gets the same $25 discount just for signing up as your friend. There's a couple of unique things about my workshop to the others around the world. Number one, I do Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and I go longer. Most workshops are only 16 hours, and mine's closer to 20 or even 22 sometimes. And the other thing is I include 6 months of free group telecoaching after the workshop to help support you in following through on your traction action plan. You know, what I have found in doing this workshop for, I think I've done it now for 14 years, what happens is people take this home and they put it on the shelf and they forget about it. They have good intentions. Oh, well, I'm going to start that next week after I have this deal going on in my life. But they forget about it and they just don't do it. And the longer you wait, the harder it is to get it back out and do it. And quite honestly, it's hard work to make changes. And so in this follow-up class, it's 12 sessions, so it's every other week, so that gives you time to work, gives you 2 weeks to do homework. And during this tele-coaching, what we'll do is you'll report on how you're doing, so that holds you accountable. You can ask for feedback on creating more little assignments for yourself. We'll work with each other, practice in the trenches, and you'll be able to continue your relationship with people you met in the workshop, so as well as make some new friends from other workshop graduates. And so you're hanging out with people who are like-minded, who are growth-oriented, who are learning these skills. It's just a perfect situation. Talking about eHarmony, this is way better in my opinion. And so I've just started doing that this year, and I'm actually starting the 6 months of coaching in September. So you guys would come in after your workshop in October, but that's okay. We'll all be still on the same page. So this year is the only year I'm doing that for free. So any workshop attendees after this year will have to pay, I think it was going to be either $497 or $597. I can't remember what I was going to charge, but it's somewhere around $500 or $600 to get that extra 6 months of biweekly coaching. So additionally, if you are already knowing that you want to attend this workshop, I'll be happy to give you an additional $50 discount just by being on this call if you register by midnight Sunday. So you'll get the early bird discount of $100, plus you'll get another $150. So you get another $50, so it's a total of $150, and whether or not your buddy comes. And you can register at keeptheloveyoufind.com. So the workshop is Keeping the Love You Find, but my website is keeptheloveyoufind.com. And if you want to just check it out, you can go in there and read about it. It gives you a little more information. You can click on register, which is just takes you to the registration page, but it also gives you dates, it gives you the tour of the home, it gives you the details of what's included in the workshop, and it also gives you the details about lodging and several choices there that you might have. So if you want lodging, make sure you get in on that right away because I only have a limited number of spaces. So finally, the last little thing, I hope you're hanging on for this, is I told you earlier that I'd have a free gift for you at the end of the call. And for those of you who have not been on my call before, this will be new for you. The really good news is that I'm going to tell you how you can get the last $50 discount. So you can get up to a $225 discount on this workshop if you do all these things. So if you participate in my 45-minute Dream Partner Strategy session, which is, I consider, besides coming to these classes, it's the first active step of creating the map to the journey to the relationship of your dreams. So this strategy session basically is for you if you'd like clarity about what's keeping you stuck, if you would like a more personalized plan to attract your dream partner, because I will be giving you several tips and strategies, and if you want help in identifying your vision for a dream partner, and finally, if you want to take that first action step to begin the journey to the relationship of your dreams. Now, let me tell you how to get that last $50. So if you participate in that free strategy session and you fill out the feedback form, I'll give you a $50 discount coupon towards any workshop, coaching session, program, package, or class that I offer. So you just fill out the feedback survey that you will receive the link to at the end of our session, and I'll give you a link to that and a code to enter for the $50 discount. So if you get a pen and jot down this website, you can schedule your Dream Partner Strategy session with me through the month of September. Now that link, and I'll email it to you too, but you might want to just go ahead and do it now. It's meetme.so, so meetme.s as in Sam, O as in ostrich, / Carol A. Anderson. My name is spelled C-A-R-O-L, and then A is my middle initial, no dot though, Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. If you want to go to this workshop, I would highly recommend that you take advantage of the $60-day early bird $100 discount that's good through Monday night, and the $50 automatic discount that's good through midnight Sunday, $25 buddy discount. I don't know if you can get that by this that quickly, but you know, you might be able to. And then sign up for that strategy session. Now, you know, because our time is so short here before the discount, I'll still give you that discount if you come, if you've just scheduled your strategy session, I'll give you that discount. So it's keeptheloveyoufind.com and meetme.so/Carol A. Anderson. Okay, so next month our call will be on September 29th, and this is an intensely important topic called Who is Your Dream Partner? And this is where you're going to be learning a lot about how you choose your dream partner and all these different things, the unconscious choice and why you're with them. However, because I will be at my couples workshop that weekend, I have that call pre-recorded, and I will send you a link to that call. And so the good thing about it is you don't have to attend on Saturday the 29th. You can if you want, but you can listen to it anytime. And so on this call, what you're going to learn is who your unconscious has programmed you for since your birth and why your perfect partner can and usually will turn into your worst nightmare, and then what you can do about that, and what causes conflict between partners and why it's necessary and what you have to do about it to change that. And of course, always more than what I've told you. So I hope that you'll listen in to that call and you'll get something of value for yourself. Don't forget to register and get your $100 discount, your $50 coupon for your Dream Partner Strategy session, and do your best to register by midnight Sunday to get that best deal. And I really hope that you've enjoyed this call and gotten something out of it, that you found at least one little tidbit to make a 1 degree change. And just remember, your dream partner is waiting for you. And I look forward to hearing from you soon. And have a great month. Feel free to contact me if you have any questions.